Section 1C. Trit was conscious of his blockiness. He didn't think it ugly. He didn't think about it at all. If he did, he would consider it beautiful. His body was designed for a purpose, and designed well. He said, "Odin, where is Dua?" "Outside somewhere," mumbled Odin, almost as though he didn't care. It annoyed Trit to have the triad made so little of. Dua was so difficult, and Odin didn't care. "Why do you let her go?"
"How can I stop her, Trit? And what harm does it do?"
"You know the harm. We have two babies. We need a third. It is so hard to make a little mid these days. Dua must be well fed for it to be made. Now she is wandering about at sunset again. How can she feed properly at sunset?"
"She's just not a great feeder."
"And we just don't have a little mid."
"Odin," Trit's voice was caressing, "how can I love you properly without Dua?"
"Now then," mumbled Odin, and Trit felt himself once more puzzled by the other's clear embarrassment at the simplest statement of fact.
Trit said, "Remember, I was the one who first got Dua."
Did Odin remember that? Did Odin ever think of the triad and what it meant? Sometimes Trit felt so frustrated Actually, he didn't know what to do. But he knew he felt frustrated. As in those old days, when he wanted an emotional, and Odin would do nothing. Trit knew he didn't have the trick of talking in big, elaborate sentences. But if parentals didn't talk, they thought. They thought about important things. Odin always talked about atoms and energy. Who cared about atoms and energy? Trit thought about the triad and the babies. Odin had once told him that the numbers of soft ones were gradually growing fewer. Didn't he care? Didn't the hard ones care? Did anyone care but the parentals? Only two forms of life on all the world, the soft ones and the hard ones, and food shining down on them. Odin had once told him the sun was cooling off. There was less food, he said, so there were less people. Trit didn't believe it. The sun felt no cooler than it had when he was a baby. It was just that people weren't worrying about the triads anymore. Too many absorbed rationals. Too many silly emotionals. What the soft ones must do was concentrate on the important things of life. Trit did. He tended to the business of the triad. The baby left came, then the baby right. They were growing and flourishing. They had to have a baby mid, though. That was the hardest to get started, and without a baby mid, there would be no new triad. What made Dua as she was? She had always been difficult, but she was growing worse. Trit felt an obscure anger against Odin. Odin always talked with all those hard words, and Dua listened. Odin would talk to Dua endlessly till they were almost two rationals. That was bad for the triad. Odin should know better. It was always Trit who had to care. It was always Trit who had to do what had to be done. Odin was the friend of the hard ones, and yet he said nothing. They needed an emotional, and yet Odin would say nothing. Odin talked to them of energy and not of the needs of the triad. It had been Trit who had turned the scale. Trit remembered that proudly. He had seen Odin talking to a hard one, and he had approached. Without a shake in his voice, he had interrupted and said, "We need an emotional." The hard one turned to look at him. Trit had never been so close to a hard one. He was all of a piece. Every part of him had to turn when one part did. He had some projections that could move by themselves, but they never changed in shape. They never flowed and were irregular and unlovely. They didn't like to be touched. The hard one said, "Is this so, Odin?" He did not talk to Trit. Odin flattened. He flattened close to the ground, more flattened than Trit had ever seen. He said, "My rightling is overzealous. My rightling is... He stuttered and puffed and could not speak. Trit could speak. He said, "We cannot melt without one." Trit knew that Odin was embarrassed into speechlessness, but he didn't care. It was time. "Well, Left, dear," said the Hard One to Odin, "do you feel the same way about it?" Hard One spoke as the Soft Ones did, but more harshly and with fewer overtones. They were hard to listen to. Trit found them hard anyway, though Odin seemed used to it. "Yes," said Odin, finally. The Hard One turned at last to Trit. "Remind me, young Wright, how long have you and Odin been together?"
"Long enough," said Trit, "to deserve an emotional."
He kept his shape firmly at angles. He did not allow himself to be frightened. This was too important. He said, "And my name is Trit." The Hard One seemed amused.
"Yes, the choice was good. You and Odin go well together. But it makes the choice of an emotional difficult. We have almost made up our minds. Or at least I have long since made up my mind, but the others must be convinced. Be patient, Trit."
"I am tired of patience."
"I know, but be patient anyway." He was amused again.
When he was quite gone, Odin uplifted himself and thinned out angrily. He said,
"How could you do that, Trit? Do you know who he was?"
"He was a Hard One."
"He was Lostin. He is my special teacher. I don't want him angry with me."
"Why should he be angry? I was polite."
"Well, never mind."
Odin was settling into normal shape. That meant he wasn't angry anymore. That relieved Trit, though he tried not to show it. "It's very embarrassing to have my dumb right come up and speak to my Hard One."
"Why didn't you do it, then?"
"There's such a thing as the right time."
"But never's the right time to you."
But then they rubbed surfaces and stopped arguing, and it wasn't long after that that Dua came. It was Lostin that brought her. Trit didn't know that. He didn't look at the Hard One. Only at Dua. But Odin told him afterward that it was Lostin that brought her.
"You see," said Trit, "it was I who talked to him. That is why he brought her."
"No," said Odin, "it was time. He would have brought her even if neither of us had talked to him." Trit didn't believe him. He was quite sure that it was entirely because of himself that Dua was with them. Surely there was never anyone like Dua in the world. Trit had seen many emotionals. They were all attractive. He would have accepted any one of them for proper melting. Once he saw Dua, he realized that none of the others would have suited. Only Dua. Only Dua. And Dua knew exactly what to do. Exactly. No one had ever shown her how, she told them afterward. No one had ever talked to her about it. Even other emotionals hadn't, for she avoided them. Yet when all three were together, each knew what to do. Dua thinned. She thinned more than Trit had ever seen a person thin. She thinned more than Trit would ever have thought possible. She became a kind of colored smoke that filled the room and dazzled him. He moved without knowing he was moving. He immersed himself in the air that was Dua. There was no sensation of penetration, none at all. Trit felt no resistance, no friction. There was just a floating inward and a rapid palpitation. He felt himself beginning to thin in sympathy, and without the tremendous effort that had always accompanied it. With Dua filling him, he could thin without effort into a thick smoke of his own. Thinning became like flowing, one enormous smooth flow. Dimly, he could see Odin approaching from the other side, from Dua's left, and he too was thinning. Then, like all the shocks of contact in all the world, he reached Odin. But it wasn't a shock at all. Trit felt without feeling, knew without knowing. He slid into Odin, and Odin slid into him. He couldn't tell whether he was surrounding Odin or being surrounded by him, or both, or neither. It was only pleasure. The senses dimmed with the intensity of that pleasure, and at the point where he thought he could stand no more, the senses failed altogether. Eventually they separated and stared at each other. They had melted for days. Of course, melting always took time. The better it was, the longer it took, though when it was over, all that time seemed as though it had been an instant, and they did not remember it. In later life, it rarely took longer than that first time. Odin said, "That was wonderful." Trit only gazed at Dua, who had made it possible. She was coalescing, swirling, moving tremulously. She seemed most affected of the three. "We'll do it again," she said hurriedly. "But later. Later. Let me go now." She had run off. They did not stop her. They were too overcome to stop her. But that was always the way afterward. She was always gone after a melting. No matter how successful it was, she would go. There seemed something in her that needed to be alone. It bothered Trit. In point after point, she was different from other emotionals. She shouldn't be. Odin felt differently. He would say on many occasions, "Why don't you leave her alone, Trit? She's not like the others, and that means she's better than the others. Melting wouldn't be as good if she were like the others. Do you want the benefits without paying the price?" Trit did not understand that clearly. He knew only that she ought to do what ought to be done. He said, "I want her to do what is right." "I know, Trit, I know. But leave her alone anyway." Odin often scolded Dua himself for her queer ways, but was always unwilling to let Trit do so. "You lack tact, Trit," he would say. Trit didn't know what tact was exactly. And now, it had been so long since the first melting, and still the baby emotional was not born. How much longer? It was already much too long. And Dua, if anything, stayed by herself more and more as time went on. Trit said, "She doesn't eat enough." "When it's time," began Odin. "You always talk about it's being time or it's not being time. You never found it time to get Dua in the first place. Now you never find it time to have a baby emotional. Dua should..." But Odin turned away. He said, "She's out there, Trit. If you want to go out and get her, as though you were her parental instead of her rightling, do so. But I say leave her alone." Trit backed away. He had a great deal to say, but he didn't know how to say it.